Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute designed to equip believers to defend their faith and live their lives as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Do remember, you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be saying a lot this month about God and the transgender debate. This book available for those who support the ministry. This is one of those resources that I think you should read cover to cover. It's really quite a quick read, but it may be one of the most important reads you ever make. The transgender revolution challenges the very structural pillars of our civilization, the very core of our humanity, and the church must be equipped to speak truth to this historic challenge. And that book will teach you exactly how to do that. Again, available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Paul in Portland, Oregon, listening on the web. Hi, Paul.
Hi there, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I've been struggling with something. Last April, I've called in before, but anyway, long story short is, I got divorced and got into a relationship and got into immorality, if you will. And part of that was, I thought I became a Christian, certainly, felt like Jesus was my Savior in 85. But then started embracing this gal's occult. And I felt very led by the Spirit ultimately to break up with this gal and confess my sins to a Christian brother, which I confessed to him. Could not break up with her, and I felt like the Holy Spirit left me. And my question is, if the Holy Spirit leaves, if indeed that's what happened, and I don't know, will it return?
Well, first of all, it's not an it. It's a personal being. And so we always say that when we talk about the essence of God or the nature of God, we must, in concert with that, also speak about the subjects within the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're personal beings. They're not its. They're not forces. And so the Holy Spirit can be grieved. David prayed, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me." And they said, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you." So it's crucial that we put ourselves in a context whereby we may partake of the graces that God has in store for us. And those graces are always in store for us in the storehouse, which is the body of Christ, or which is the church. So it's great that you confessed your sins to a Christian brother, but you must partake of the graces and sacraments that are available to you as a believer within the body of Christ. And feelings are notoriously unreliable. So what you want to do is you want to trust in the truth of God's word and recognize that as you do that, the feelings will be enhanced because your closeness in your relationship to God will be enhanced.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, in 85, I had a very real conversion. One of my friends was murdered, and, I felt literally like this grief taken off of me after a pastor explained who Christ was, and my heart was warmed, literally. And this felt like a true departure of the Spirit when it happened.
Well, but I think what you have to think about here, Paul, sorry to interrupt you, but you have to think about this not as a transaction during which your heart felt strangely warmed. I'm not negating that in any way or downplaying it. That was a real experience you had with God. But what I'm suggesting to you is that we ought not to be transactional in our Christian walk. We ought to be transformational in our Christian walk. And that only comes by partaking of the sacraments and the graces that are available to us within the body of Christ. I want to go to the George now in Austin, Texas. He's listening on the web. Hi, George.
Hi, God. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Yes, Hank, thank you for your ministry. I've been listening for 1 year, and you don't know how much you're helping me to raise my two children, a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Oh, bless you.
And thank you so much. My question is this. Most people make fun of Christians, you know, when we say that, when they say that, you know, the Old Testament said that you should not eat shrimp and things like that. Same thing, the Old Testament says that homosexuality is not good. But now in the New Testament, all those things are not anymore valid. You know, I disagree with that idea because my conscience tells me that those things are wrong, you know, like homosexuality. But how can I explain someone who thinks that way so with gentleness and respect?
Sure, George. I think what's important here is to recognize the difference between civil and ceremonial laws that have a fulfillment in Jesus Christ and those moral or universal laws which never change. They're unalterable. And many of those laws are laws that we know because our conscience bears witness to those laws. So even apart from the light of Christ, even apart from the light of creation, our conscience testifies to the fact that we are violating the moral law of God. So you mentioned shrimp. Well, shrimp, a good example of something that had a civil and ceremonial place in Old Testament law, but those things which were once called unclean, God says, or Jesus Christ in human flesh, as God says, don't call that unclean. Don't call what I've called clean unclean, because it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that ultimately defiles him. It is the sin that is produced within the context of the heart. So Jesus declared all foods clean. Why did he do that? Well, Jesus is the fulfillment of all the civil and ceremonial laws. They find their ultimate fulfillment in him. He is the substance that fulfills the types and shadows. And that's why Hebrews tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats.
And about homosexuality, for example?
Well, homosexuality is, again, a sin against moral law. Yesterday I had a question about Lot and the sin that Lot was going to perpetrate by sending two angels out into the Sodomite community to be sodomized. That was an egregious sin. It was an egregious sin because it was a sin against natural law. Whether Lot knew these were angels or not, the fact of the matter is, to rape a man is a violation of natural law. And again, I think this is covered quite beautifully by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, where he says they knew. And the thing that they knew was not only available as knowledge to the patriarchs like Lot or Abraham or Isaac or Moses or any of the other patriarchs, it was known to the nations in general, and therefore God judged other nations for the disobedience that they held when it came to natural law. So we can't violate natural law without violating the precepts of God and paying the just reward for that in our own bodies, as the Bible makes plain.
Thank you so much, Hank. Thank you. I appreciate your answer.
You got it.
God bless you.
Thank you, George. Appreciate your call. We are coming to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Just as Jesus had compassion on the masses, we must be compassionate as well. And thus the challenge of challenges, which is the transsexual revolution, has to be engaged with love and compassion. You'll read that in the tone of the book, God and the Transgender Debate, available for your support. You can find it on the web at equip.org. We'll be back with more answers to your questions right after the break. Number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
The transgender agenda has taken the world by storm, leaving many Christians uncertain of how to respond to a society seeking to dismantle what it means to be male or female. In God and the Transgender Debate, Andrew T. Walker explores what it means to be male or female and shows how we can think through the various views on gender from a biblical perspective. If you want to understand what the Bible teaches about sex and gender, this book is a must read. To receive your copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity?, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Throughout history, gender was understood as binary, male or female. Today, Facebook offers over 50 gender options for its members. If you're feeling confused, you're not alone. What is transgenderism and gender fluidity? In a culture ready to label anyone who questions the transgender agenda as hateful and bigoted, how should Christians respond? Christians need to understand and provide a biblical response to the transgender agenda, which is why the book God and the Transgender Debate by Andrew T. Walker is a resource every Christian must read to understand the issue of transgenderism and what the Bible actually says about gender identity. To receive your copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity?, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Back to the phone lines, Mike in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for everything that you do. Question, as a born-again Christian, how do we, in love, speak? How would God want us to speak in love with a homosexual person and telling them that the disrespect they have for themselves is, like, in a nice way, how do we tell them that there's the disrespect they have them for themselves should not be anybody else's problem?
Well, I think the adage that we use all the time, 1 Peter 3:15, is that we're always to be equipped to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, and we are to do that with gentleness and with respect. So the evident factor here is that what we do is not out of self-righteousness, but genuine love for other people. And this is the very thing that motivates a biblical worldview to want to transform the culture to Christ. Because whenever you stand against those principles that God stands against, then you're going to get hurt. You know, for example, if you stand on the Eiffel Tower and say, I don't really care about God's law of gravity, I can break it if I want to. Well, the only thing that gets broken in the process is you. So if you're a child that doesn't know any better, and I wouldn't imagine that children wouldn't know any better, I think they would just innately. They know not to jump off the Eiffel Tower. But if they didn't know, for some reason, you would tell them. But you would do that with reasonableness, with gentleness, and with respect. God has carefully defined the borders of human sexuality, and he's done that for the benefit of humankind. So there's no hate there. There's no bigotry. This is pure love. And to reiterate what God says in a way that is with gentleness and with respect is precisely what we are called to do. We're called to stand against the tide. And it's kind of interesting that if you look, and going back to a question that came up yesterday and I commented on today, you go back to Peter's commentary on what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, where God rescued Lot. And Lot is called a righteous man because he was, as Peter puts it, distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. For that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. So we're not the one that ultimately is in charge for meting out punishment, but we are in charge for standing against a culture that is seeking to sweep away a civilization that is based on the values of the biblical ethic.
Yeah, thanks, Hank. I guess not knowing is okay in God's eyes. And if they don't know any better, I guess that's okay. But once they do know and know the truth.
Yeah, although, Mike, I would argue that they do know better, and that's the argument I made to the previous caller in the first half of the broadcast. In other words, even the godless nations or the nations that did not hear the message of the patriarchs were held accountable for their sin because natural law was sufficient to let them know that there was a God and that God defined these kinds of matters in the category of sin. So natural law was enough. It's written on the canvas of their consciousness to make them guilty for the sins of perversion that they engaged in. And of course, what they do is they reject the truth in ungodliness. And that's why Paul says that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth in their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And then Paul goes on to say, they knew God, but they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be very, very wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for those things that are made in their own image and likeness, and that which is their truth as opposed to objective truth, that which becomes subjective as opposed to kneeling before the one that created them. And again, this is not just obvious to a Christian. This is obvious to everyone.
Well said, Hank. Thank you.
You got it. And there's so much I want to say about this subject, and we'll do that throughout the course of this month, because the transgender debate, and the title of the book available on the web at equip.org is God and the Transgender Debate, is a debate in which there are a cacophony of voices. I mean, I think about Elizabeth Warren, for example, who says that her Secretary of Education, should she become President of the United States, will first have to be approved by a young trans person. Why does she say that? Well, because like it or not, gender identity is fast becoming the most fashionable social justice issue of our day. And, you know, as I mentioned the other day on the broadcast, the evidence is replete with the fact that Facebook now offers over 50 gender options. And New York is fining citizens who fail to use preferred pronouns of transgendered citizens. So we have influential sectors of our culture, the education industry, the entertainment industry, the environmental industry. They're no longer influenced by the Christian worldview, nor are such sectors sympathetic to Christian values. Now, we can curse the darkness, or we could build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. The reason that I am offering this book is this is not an issue to which we can turn a blind eye. This is a transcendently important issue. We have, in effect today, traded in a Christian worldview and a Christian civilization for a Gnostic notion that gender and biology are distinct, that a man can identify as a woman irrespective of biology. The twin dictums that now govern the post-Christian worldview are: do not judge anyone else's point of view, and if it feels good, or if it seems right, well, just do it. And not only that, but gender no longer means what gender used to mean. In the Dark Ages, talking humorously about a decade ago, gender and sex were coupled together. In our new age of supposed enlightenment, we are decoupling the two. And in the process, we have altered the meaning of both. Your sex and your gender ought not to be decoupled. That'll be coupled together. If you have XX chromosomes or XY chromosomes, they are coupled with gender. You can't decouple that. XX chromosome is a female gender. An XY chromosome is a male gender. That's how civilization has always, always seen it. Until, of course, recently, the last decade or so, all the norms have been turned on their head, and there is a policing that is taking place now where you have to be politically correct, and if you are not, you're going to pay a fine for it. Well, Christians have to stand against the tide no matter what the cost. We have to stand for truth. Be it kicked off a radio station, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Stand for truth no matter what the cost. God and the Transgender Debate, available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org. I hope as many of you are concerned about this issue as I am. And I think sometimes to be concerned, you have to really understand what the underlying issues are. They're foundational to all of human civilization. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.